Moving on now to our second chair of the evening. It gives me great pleasure to introduce John, who's going to do the 40-minute chair. So over to you, John.
Thanks, John. My name's John Amanandi. Ever so slightly kind of like, kind of scared, you know what I mean? Because I kind of want to kind of sort of like impress, I want to amuse, I want to kind of sort of like, it's a long time, 40 minutes, you know what I mean, to kind of talk, you know what I mean? And thanks, Linda, because I really kind of sort of like, that was brilliant, chair, start. And basically, you know what I mean, I was kind of thinking what I wanted to say, you know what I mean, when I was doing the rehearsal on the tube coming over, you know what I mean, kind of like, what do you want me to say, you know what I mean? I'm kind of thinking, I think everyone in this room, right, is like kind of, I used to kind of hear when I was in recovery kind of a few years, right, someone would say, oh, you never know who's got clean, you never imagine who's got clean, you know what I mean, so-and-so's got clean. And you'd say, well, he was the last person on earth you'd think would get clean, you know, the last person on earth. And then you work it out, we're all the last person on earth, you know what I mean, who kind of come to meetings, fess up and talk about what goes on with us, you know what I mean, because it's like, I thought I belonged to a secret society before. You know, I thought, don't tell anyone fucking anything, you know what I mean? So the idea of kind of coming, like Linda says, coming here and telling and revealing something of myself, you know what I mean? Because I kind of think that what kind of binds this together, this NA business, you know what I mean, and this AA business and 12-step treatment centres, 12-step fellowships is, not that we've all cracked it, that we're all kind of struggling to some degree on any given day, you know what I mean? And kind of what kind of bonds me or drags me closer to people is when I hear about their struggle, you know what I mean? It's not that they've got the new motor, they've got this, they've really fucking cracked it, you know what I mean? It's like, as much as I sort of like might kind of sort of like got a degree of success in my life, I still struggle and I still acknowledge that, I still come to meetings and I think that's fucking great, you know what I mean? And I was just kind of thinking, if I wanted to just say anything, you know what I mean, in a paragraph, I owe everything to being in recovery. From every pair of socks to where I fucking live, to the people in my life, to a sense of dignity that I've got that was always kind of sort of like, when you sort of like asked me what's your wildest dreams when I came into recovery, it was very much a kind of quite grandiose kind of fucking Will Smith video that I'm kind of getting off a kind of speedboat and going into a party and there's Ferraris and it's, you know what I mean? Kind of, but what I wanted and I never realised until one day I kind of got it was a degree of dignity that who I was who I was. I'm not trying to be something that I'm not and I'm not, you know, and I'm in the room and I can remember one day I was sitting in this room and I was talking to this guy and he was kind of quite important and I realised that I was there on merit. And I weren't there because I was blagging it, and I, you know, about, and it was to do with, I wrote a book, right, and I wrote a book, and the book was kind of successful, right, and I rang up a sponsor, and I was meant to go on the radio, right, and he said, oh, you can tell him about the book you've written, right, I said, yeah, he says, not the book you're going to write, yeah, so I said, yeah, you know what I mean, he said, so you're not in a boozer, telling them about, well, I'm going to write a book one day and you're all going to be fucking amazed, you know what I mean? You've written the fucking thing, you know what I mean? The people reviewed it and liked it and they got you on there because you're there on merit, right? I thought, yeah, I fucking like that. And I was sitting there talking to this guy, you know, it's kind of fucking strange experience because I'd known this guy about 20, 25 years and I was talking to him and I realised I'd never had a proper conversation with him. I was always, yeah, in a minute, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? And you know what I mean? It's always a bit like that. And here I was on the radio talking to kind of like about fucking 100,000 Londoners, me and this guy. And I kind of thought, you're here on merit. You're not here because you fannied this, you blagged this, John. You're here because you're here. And I never thought I'd get there. I was always one of these guys who sort of like, who used to spend a lot of time pedaling really fast to kind of appear cool. You know what I mean? And like, kind of, that was kind of like my kind of like mission statement when I got up in the morning. I want to appear cool. The reason I still say I'm an addict, and I've been clean like 14 years, and I say that because it's not to show off. It's about when I first went to meetings, And I thought, these people are clean for a couple of weeks and then they'll go out and have used up and they'll do this. You know what I mean? And kind of when this guy said, I'm 5 years clean or 10 years clean or a month clean or something like that, I was blown away. You know what I mean? I'm sort of like, I was just really fucking blown away. But the reason why, I went on this PI thing one day, right, public information thing, and I said, he says, you come in here and you identify as an addict and you haven't used for fucking years, so why do you still identify as an addict, right? It's a very good question. I still believe if I took a drug, any drug, today, I'd be in the grips of addiction, very quick or very slow. No matter how you slice it, right, I can't negotiate, cut bargains, do trades. I can't use the weekends. That was my whole using. You know what I mean? That was always trying to kind of get it manageable. If I could use this drug, drink drinks I don't like. Go hang out with people I don't like. Hang out with people I do like. All these kind of things, these attempts to control my using. And what I kind of worked out in the last 5 years of my using was every time I had a sniff, I had a puff, I had a drink, I was in the game. And where it would end up was usually me sort of like kind of fucking completely paranoid in this basement flat, worrying when the phone rang, worrying when the phone didn't ring, thinking I was going to kind of sort of like, I was schizophrenic, in a very fucking strange place, right? But what I couldn't work out, right, was kind of like, this kind of psychotic episode was the result of the first one, not the 21st one, not the 101st one, it was the first one that I was in the game, and then it became unnegotiable. And my illness will tell me nowadays, you know what I mean? So, well, look, you haven't had a use up for a long time, right? If you use, right, you could go back to the fellowship. If it don't work, I can go back. Tail between your legs, pick up a white key ring. We'd do a deal, right? Yeah? As soon as I used, my illness would say to me, what fucking deal was that, John? I don't remember any fucking deal. You know what I mean? The deal would be off like that, instantaneously. So I don't use, right? I haven't used for a long time, right? When I talk to people, right, and they say you haven't used for a long time, you say, well, what, you don't like drugs? And I say, well, and it depends, you know what I mean, after a while you kind of learn different people, and you kind of sniff people out, you know how you talk to them. Now, my thing is, I love drugs, and I wish I could use, right, but I don't, because I start off, right, it was, my using was very much kind of up like a rocket, down like a stick. Do you know what I mean? It was very much that kind of bulletproof for a little while, and then, like I say, I'd be cowering, very cool, like fucking shaking, thinking I better go out to get something to eat, I better run out and run back in again, you know what I mean, and kind of like, because I was shit scared. And I thought, because there was a history of family, kind of like mental illness in my family, that I was schizophrenic, I didn't think I was an addict. And kind of when I went to my first meeting, and they said, you're an addict, I kind of was half relieved and half, that's a bit of a let off. Because if we all stick together and say, we're addicts, aren't we? You know what I mean? It's sort of like, you know, it's kind of a bit of a let off. But I come from a family that's rife with addiction and like mental illness. So thinking back now, right, it's kind of like my using was kind of like a kind of very like kind of like a rear guard action against kind of sort of, I was struggling all the time not to kind of go under. And I was kind of quite courageous in my own little way, you know what I mean? And sort of like, but I was always trying to control, and I was always trying to sort of like just get into kind of oblivious state, you know what I mean? And sort of like, I had some really good times actually kind of using. And when I walked down here tonight, there's a club here, Two Bridges Place Club, right? And kind of like me and this other guy ended up there one day, and it was about 4 or 5 in the morning, and the guy who owned it, right, it was kind of, I'd never seen so much coke in one place in all my life out of a movie, to be honest, right? And I kind of thought, and here he was, there's kind of a big pile on the table. And the sun was coming up, and the bottles, the sun was shining through the bottles, and I thought, this is as good as it gets, kind of thing, you know what I mean? This is fucking it, you know what I mean? And about half hour later, I was in the cars, he didn't want to come out, thinking, why did I take so much coke? Why did I drink so much, you know what I mean? So it was almost, and I had some good times, and then I sort of like, but slowly, it was like, I was like a car running out of petrol, you know what I mean? And it's like, I kind of sort of like, I go for a while and stop. My first meeting, you know what I mean, is sort of like, they say that thing, you know what I mean, when the pupil is ready, the teacher will appear, and that's my fucking experience. And I was kind of like, I hadn't used for about 4 or 5 days, I hadn't eaten for about 4 or 5 days. If you don't eat for 4 or 5 days, you'll go to a very wicky fucking place, you know what I mean? It's sort of like, you know what I mean, it's like, you know, had more hallucinations, you know what I mean, coming off booze and kind of like coke and not eating. And I ever did, acid was always a big disappointment to me. Do you know what I mean? It was a giggle a lot. But kind of, I used to proper fucking, you know what I mean, fucking horsemen coming through the wall and shit like that, you know what I mean? Fucking real heavy gear, you know what I mean? Fits. Fucking, well, how come I'm having a fit? Do you know what I mean? And stuff like that. But I'd kind of sort of like run out of momentum by the time I went to my first meeting, you know what I mean? I kind of sort of like, when the guy said, bada, 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 I'm powerless, I thought, fucking, that's it. That's the fucking word. And when they said, one's too many, a thousand, I thought, that's it. That is fucking brilliant. You know what I mean? That is kind of like summed it up. The first meeting I went to, right, I hadn't eaten for fucking a few days. I tried to eat and kind of like just been sick. I ordered a pizza or something. Pizza came around. Kid delivered it to me. I kind of chewed it, chewed one mouthful of pizza for about 10 minutes. Couldn't swallow it. Got rid of that. A guy come round and he said to me, look, if I'm an addict, you're an addict too. Right? He kind of took me hostage in recovery kind of thing. He didn't want to go to the meeting on his own because he was going to grab me, you know, he'll come on to. We went to this meeting, right, and it was in Mill Lane in West Hampstead, right, and we got up there and I says, what's the address? What number is it? He says, I don't know, but it's on this street somewhere. Mill Lane's are fucking about 2 miles long. In the dark, winter, dark at 4 o'clock or whatever it was, right? And we're mooching around trying, and we're up on these people. He says, it's round here somewhere, it's round about. And we're up on these people's fire escapes. And they say, you know, when you kind of you walk up the fire escape and the light comes on automatically, you know what I mean? Oh no, it's like kind of surveillance. Like, and someone will come out, what do you want? Well, fuck off. I'm looking for an MA meeting. You're fucking mad. Do you know what I mean? So, anyway, we ended up in this meeting, right? And the guy who was doing the chair was like a notorious football hooligan, or thought he was anyway, you know what I mean? But, and it was a step three chair, so he's going, well, my God, am I understanding? And I thought, this is a fucking setup. This has got to be, because he says, well, when I let God into my life, you know what I mean? I was thinking, last time I saw this geezer, he was saying to me, well, you've got six mates, I've got six pals, why don't we go outside and just have a fight? And I said, well, what for? Why do we want to do that? And it's kind of like, you know, have we got, do you know what I mean? Why do we want to do that kind of thing? And he said, well, it'd just be kind of fun. I said, it wouldn't be, it might be fun for you kicking the shit out of me. It might be fun for me getting the shit kicked out of me. So anyway, we went in the meeting, he was there kind of like up on the top table. I thought, this is double fucking weird. Like that, you know what I mean? But when they said powerless, once too many, a thousand, never enough. I thought, yeah. I kind of get this. I didn't get it 100%. And they lashed me up with literature. And I went over the literature and I kind of thought, well, this is kind of like quite mad. And I was trying to read the literature and I was drinking. I wasn't using anything. I was just kind of drinking while I was trying to read the literature. And it's kind of fucked it for me a little bit. Do you know what I mean? Like they say, you know what I mean? You're trying to read the literature and you're acting up. And I stayed clean for a little while. And I can't remember what happened. I think I was trying, I was out to prove that I wasn't an addict, right? So I kind of thought, look, I think Arsenal won the championship in 1991. Right? And I went in the off licence and I bought eight cans of Red Stripe and a bottle of vodka. And I thought, if I can drink these, nice and controlled, right, it's enough for a party for some folks, do you know what I mean? For me, it was my little experiment. If I can drink these tonight and nice and easy watching the telly, you know what I mean, and I don't want more, proves I'm not an addict. Well, needless to say, you know what I mean, I was out and I was kind of sort of, I was on, I can remember being in a kebab shop and some guy chasing me one of them swords. Needless to say, my little experiment, you know what I mean, wasn't, you know, because if somebody said some people got a drink problem, they hadn't drunk for a few months, they might come get a bottle of wine. Try to cheek a couple of glasses of wine. You know, but my little experiment was kind of like, whatever. I used for a little while, and I can remember at the end, I was on this mattress in this room, in this flat, in this basement flat, and I was kind of suicidal, and I said, God help me, right? And I'm not big on God in the program now. I couldn't really define my God, but from that day to this, I have not used. You know what I mean? And like, my story was that I didn't go to a lot of meetings, but I didn't use. Right? People were saying to me, "Feel like using? Go to meetings. If you feel like using, give me a ring. If you feel like kind of mad, give me a ring." Right? And obviously, I couldn't ring anyone up. You know what I mean? Because that was just too, you know, people give me their numbers, and it'd be like, yeah. I'll ring you, yeah, like fucking, of course I'll ring you, you know what I mean? This is all madness. But what happened was, I didn't use, right, and I was getting more and more increasingly angry and increasing, no program, no real meetings, you know what I mean? Kind of just kind of bottling it all up, stuff bubbling up for me, you know what I mean? My My mother died when I was 8 months clean. I didn't really know how to handle it. I kind of went into kind of real kind of shutdown mode. I was working for a tailor in Covent Garden. And I was walking around in overcoats and suits and stuff like that. And I used to watch The Godfather, right? And I used to kind of think, Michael Corleone, right? Starts off, he's kind of like, he's a bit chipper at the beginning, right? And at the end, right, he's just managed to close himself right down. So he says, I killed my brother, but, you know, I had to kill him. And I kind of thought, if I could get like Michael Corleone, I would be cool. So, you know what I mean? If I could just kind of, like, kind of sort of like just put myself to sleep, you know, kind of thing. You know what I mean? I've got to... And then it comes to says, you need to go to treatment. I said, treatment? No fucking treatment for it. Someone says, you get a council flat. Council flat, really? You have to come up someplace in Kentish. I don't want to live in Kentish Town or something like that. They said, no. They save all the best council flats in the Abbeys. Overlooking Regent's Park. Leafy Regent's Park. Seriously? Yeah. Get yourself treatment 6 months down the fucking... Wiltshire. Down Wiltshire, 6 months, near Stonehenge, fucking fantastic. Come back, Council Flat Regent's Park, fucking what more could you want? Fucking great, right? Wiltshire, right? I was in a meeting one time and I said I went to treatment in Wiltshire, right? And a guy come up to me afterwards and he said to me, I really like your chair and all that. What was you doing in a wheelchair? I was just puzzled and I said, no, he said, you went to treatment in a wheelchair, what had you done? You'd had an accident or something. I said, no, Wiltshire. So that's why, from that day forward, I've always said, like a BBC proper pronunciation, Wiltshire. So anyway, they said to me, go to fucking treatment, right? So I went to treatment, right? I said, da, 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 da. And they've said, tell us your life story. And I told them my life story, and they said, you know, kind of, and as I was telling, this is kind of like, as I was actually telling the guy my life story, I kind of thought, you need to be here, innit? Do you know what I mean? That was all a bit of a ruse by them people back in London. That was all a bit of a kind of, yeah, you know what I mean? You'll get this, you'll get that, and all that. And I kind of knew I needed to be there, and I needed to kind of sort of like just break it down and kind of, because some people in fellowships, they need to be kind of, they're using every day, they're using non-stop. They need to be kind of a bit kind of swagged off the street, you know what I mean? Kind of away, treatment centre somewhere, detox, so they can stop using it. I needed to be taken away to somewhere where I had to start asking for help. Even if it was, could you pass the tomato ketchup? Do you know what I mean? Even if it was, could you give me a hand the other end of this table? And they'd give me these chores to do, right? And they kind of, this table's about from here to that wall, right? And they kind of say, look, John, could you get the tables to move? You can't move them on your own. But I would try, I'd be underneath trying to move them on my own, right? So you have to. It's like, just get sound with that. Do you know what I mean? So you have to do it, right? My step two, then and now, is about asking for help. And I'm not the greatest. I'm, you know what I mean? It's all, I've got strengths and weaknesses, and that's what I've worked out in recovery. I'm not great at asking for help, you know what I mean? If I went into John Lewis and I said to the guy, tell me about fridges, 10 minutes later I'd know as much as he would. He'd be saying, listen, pal, you know as much as me. I'm going to be asking you questions in a minute, you know what I mean? Asking for 10 minutes of someone's time, ringing them up, saying, I'm a bit shtuck, I still have to kind of grimace, you know what I mean, just while I'm... But my step two is kind of like, I can remember when I'd done it with this guy in this kind of, because I went from a treatment centre in Wiltshire down to Brighton, and I was with this guy called Mickey D, who was kind of, who was my sponsor at the time. I went through the steps with him. And he said to me, what is your step two? And I'd been in treatment for 6 weeks, 6 months or whatever. I can't remember how long, right? But I spoke. He asked me this question, and I spoke for about half an hour. And it was like real free form and freestyle. It could be this and that, and it could be that, and it could be this. And it was all a bit jazz, you know what I mean? It was all a bit kind of everything. You know? It's all a bit blah, 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 and that one and that one, and two makes five, and you know what I mean? Two and two makes five, and two addicts together, and all that. And I said, okay, you've been clean about 20 years. What's your step two? And he said to me, this went from me ears shut to me ears open. I said, well, that's it. I was expecting a bit of wisdom here, you know what I mean? He said, well, that's fucking wisdom, mate. You know, what do you want? You know, wisdom is kind of getting the complicated, to simplifying the complicated. And that's exactly what he'd done. You know what I mean? He said to me, look, I keep going to meetings, you know what I mean? I'm in these fucking church halls, you know what I mean, Saturday night. I don't want to sound, you know what I mean, like Mr. Big Stuff, but I've got other places I could be. Do you know what I mean? But I'm sitting here. Do I think going to a church or community centre does me any good? And it fucking does. It does me a lot of good. And the thing that really kind of like really offended my ego was when someone said to me, you know, you'll always need NA more than NA needs you. And I kind of thought, that's real. My ego don't like that. You know what I mean? My ego's kind of like, it's a bit out of order to say that, but it's fucking true. And if they used to say, you know, I mean, don't hear it so much nowadays. They used to say, if you're struggling with one step, right, step two, going to meetings, open up, look at the previous step, because you might find the answer there, right? And when I'm struggling to go to meetings or open up or something, I think about it, it's like what Linda was saying, you know what I mean? It's like, I was in a basement room, wanting to kill myself, wanting to chop bits off myself, wanting to self-harm, I wanted to put my hand on the electric kind of heat, you know, like when you turn the cooker up and it glows red hot. That was my thinking. I don't want to go back to that. So if I have to go to meetings and I have to open up and I have to share, you know what I mean? And sort of like, that's what I have to fucking do. Because like anything, you know what I mean? I've got to give to get. Do you know what I mean? I have to kind of sort of, I have to make the effort. I have to meet my higher power halfway. That's what, you know what I mean? It's kind of installed in me. And my step three was about, I used to have this funny old step three. It was kind of a spin on step three that kind of, before I came to recovery, I used to try and change the things I couldn't change and accept the things I could. I had it completely fucking back to front. I'm wondering why my head was fucked a lot of the time. You know what I mean? Kind of try and change things, try and change people, try and change circumstances, try and change the weather. You know what I mean? And sort of like, and kind of what I do now, right, is I feed the good part of myself. That is my step three, you know what I mean? It's all like, since, again, I said to this sponsor, you know what I mean, well, come, tell me about step three after talking for about an hour. He says, well, it's a serenity prayer. Is that it? The serenity prayer. He says, go away and think about it. I'll tell you what he's done, this is really good, right? He says, go get dictionary and look up each word in the serenity prayer. And when you come to grant, right, it says, it doesn't say, God, give me, right? No one, he said to me, no one goes into a bank and says, grant me the money, do they? They say, give me the money. There's a bit of humility involved. Grant is like, can I have, please? You know, humble, you know what I mean? It says, go for every word, right? And it says, I thought, yeah, I fucking went for it. It's a bit laborious, you know what I mean? And, but it gave me this idea of sort of like, yeah, you know what I mean? There's a lot of wisdom in there. It's very, very simple stuff, you know what I mean? But like this program, it's simple, but it's kind of hard at the same time. And then I sat down, everyone said to me, you need to get a lot of stuff out. And I couldn't think, why? What's talking about my past got to do with fucking staying clean and being happy? What's done is done, you know what I mean? So I'm a cool dude, I don't have resentments, you know what I mean? I saw people, this is no down on treatment centres, I mean, I saw people in treatment centres, and they were doing step four, and it looked to me like a B1, you know when you go in DSS and you fill in a B1? Tick the spot, stick the editor. Yeah, yeah. Lust, yeah, fucking have some of that, you know. Greed, yeah, greedy bastard, you know what I mean? Kind of like all that. And yeah, yeah. So I put in for all the kind of like masculine defects of course. You know what I mean? Swerved, I don't like that. People please, man. But then I kind of sat down, wrote this thing, and it was kind of like, I used to have longer hair then. Right? I used to have kind of longer hair, no glasses, and I used to kind of go to meetings. I used to come out. People used to think I was in with a poltergeist. Because I come out and my barnet was all mad. Right? I didn't have glasses, so I used to look across the meeting like that. Right? Why doesn't anyone say hello to me? Like, we all fucking frown at people. Because I try and look to see people. I come out and he's fucking screwing me and all that. You know, real kind. But I wrote this step four anyway. I wrote and wrote. And it transpired, right? Apart from being the cool guy who kind of had been in every resentment, everyone I would come in contact with for any length of time, I had resentments about them. And all these resentments have got cousins and distant cousins and big families, you know what I mean? They've all got kind of like, and stuff. Fucking rah, 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 fucking hate echoes and all that. And what was really weird, right, is when I was a kid, right, I was kind of abused by this guy, and he was kind of grooming me and stuff like that. And I was as angry as him for that as I was someone who top-loaded a joint or something. Do you know what I mean? It's very fucking weird shit, you know what I mean? I was really kind of helped because a lot of people kind of say, like, okay, step four, you know what I mean? It's sort of like, get on, gung-ho, do step four. You really need one, two, and three before you attend. I really needed one, two, and three, you know what I mean? I needed kind of a lingo. I needed to be able to talk to people about stuff that was coming up. I needed to feel held. I needed to feel safe. Because it just sent me scatty, you know what I mean? Other people's experience is different. But I wrote and wrote and wrote, and I can remember there's this woman called Sue B. She's a counsellor. She used to be a counsellor in the treatment centre in Brighton that I was in, and she's since moved to Wales. And she was one of these people, when I first went in there and met her, I kind of hated her before she opened her mouth. And that woman today, I fucking love that woman dearly, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like a recovery for you, you know what I mean? Right, I was kind of prejudged a woman. I fucking love that woman. And she said to me, I said, I'll do my step four. I've just come out of primary treatment and going to secondary treatment. I said, I'll do my step four on Wednesday afternoon, right? And she said, have you got a few resentments? I said, one or two or so. And she gave me this pad, and I've never seen my life since, right? It's about like fucking yellow pages, you know what I mean? She said, well, fill that up, right? And when you filled that, I'll give you another one. I said, I just went back and I fucking filled it up. She says, it's always the cool ones, John. The people who come here raging, you know what I mean? They start and you know, they run out. You know, it's always the cool ones I ain't got, you know what I mean? They're always the ones who've got fucking loads of resentments. Done this thing with this Mickey D, and I kind of sat down and I told him a lot of stuff, this guy. Stuff I wouldn't have admitted to myself, I wouldn't have admitted to another human being, I wouldn't have accepted to God, and verbalised this stuff that I'd done this and done that, and stuff had been done to me, and I was to blame for a lot of stuff, and I kind of, I've got this, you know, like I'm indecisive, and I kind of let people kind of walk all over me sometimes, you know what I mean? All this stuff that I really didn't want to kind of confront. And I had this step six, and I kind of had the information I needed, but I struggled with step six for a long time because, again, I needed to go back to the step five to see the information that I had. I didn't come out of step five with the information I needed to do step six. And a year after, I was back in London. I rang this guy up one night and he said to me, you've got pens and paper there. He says, write these down, right? He'd give me kind of 17 or 18 defects. And he said, get them, right? And he says, you know, you ever see these magazine articles, right? And he says, for argument's sake, what is needed in a sportsman, right? And you've got to come and they say, good looks, physique, athletic ability, and you've got to kind of sort of like put them in order of what's most important, yeah? So just get them defects, just write them, do a kind of cut and paste them, and move them around on the table or something, and put them in order of how they would apply to you. So your most relevant, you know, the one that's most kind of like your worst defect first, and then kind of going down. And my worst defect was arrogance, so I know best. And he defined them for me as well. And he said, get in the dictionary again, because you need to get back in the dictionary. Arrogance, I know best. I know what's best for me, and I know what's best for you. Self-pity, right, is like a lot of people will kind of come into recovery. Like, and this is my experience, right? A lot of shit had happened in my life, right? I kind of saw, my mother was kind of sort of like, used to batter me around, right? To get attention from social services, you know what I mean? So I kind of all that kind of shit going on. Just before I come into recovery, the girlfriend who I really, really loved, right, she'd been raped by a former partner, and I was trying to sort this all out in my head, you know what I mean? And I should go and shoot him and stuff like that, you know what I mean? And I'm not a heavy geezer at all, you know what I mean? A lot of mad stuff. Now, there's a lot of sadness connected to that, and every time I got sad, I thought I was self-piteous, but it's not. Self-pity is an exaggerated sense of wrongdoing. And I was sad and I needed to get all this shit out. And I was fucking angry, you know what I mean? I was sort of like, so I needed to get this kind of stuff out. Self-pity is when I come around the corner and the bus is going and I say, that fucking always happens to me. Or I drop the toast and it lands buttered down. Always fucking, that's my life. That's self-pity. Do you know what I mean? I live a very good life, right, and I can kind of like, you know what I mean, something small happens, like, oh, what a story my fucking life. So it's not, you know what I mean? I'm kind of like, I live a very kind of charmed life, you know what I mean? But self-pity, grandiosity, do you know who I am? Do you know who I fucking am, right? You know what I mean? It's sort of like, do you know who I am, you know what I mean? And now I've got a little bit of dignity, I kind of don't find myself asking that question so often, you know what I mean? Sort of, because I know who I am and I know who I ain't. You know what I mean? Self-centeredness, thinking the world revolves around me. You know what I mean? If someone was laughing at the front of a bus or something, and I was sat at the back, they was obviously laughing about me. Because my shoes are saying, you know, my haircut, what have you done on my haircut? It's, do you know what I mean? It's kind of, obviously, they're kind of, because the world revolves around me, of course, you know what I mean? Sort of like, so other kind of sort of defects would kind of sort of come in. I could be kind of really greedy and mean about kind of like buying toilet roll. Do you know what I mean? It's sort of like, but I'll spend fucking fortunes on a meal, you know what I mean? So it's all kind of a bit back to front with me, like most things. My shortcomings, I don't have enough self-forgiveness for myself. I don't have enough forgiveness for other people. You know what I mean? I can rip the shit out of myself because I know where the fault lines are. I can really take myself apart. No one can take me apart like I can take myself because I've got inside information. Do you know what I mean? I've got kind of, like, I know where to kind of, you're a wanker, aren't you? I used to have a kind of, I didn't have low self-worth, I had high self-contempt. You know what I mean? Kind of slightly different. It's like this geezer on, you know, saying, what a wanker, you ain't going to let him away with it. He talks to you like a complete fucking mug, you know? So it's like this kind of devil on the shoulder. I made this list, right, and kind of like, again, grandiose. Like I'd said something to some geezer in this kind of list of amendments. You know, I'd said something to someone, and it's ruined his life. Of course it hasn't fucking ruined. He's got on with his life. Probably doesn't remember, you know what I mean? And like, my mother had died, and I would have liked to have made amends, right? But she's seen me kind of clean, and I kind of think, I don't sort of like think my mum's in the room with me and stuff like that, but I can't think my mum would be kind of cool with what I'm doing at the moment, where I'm at in my life, you know what I mean? My father, you know what I mean? I never really knew. He jogged on when I was kind of very kind of, when I was kind of sort of like very young. It's a bit of a long story, and even if I've done another 40-minute chair here next week, my old man kind of died for me and showed me. It was a bit like kind of Christmas Carol. Like he was in the kind of like life support system, and he kind of died. He was dying slowly because all his organs had died from alcoholism. And it was a bit like that kind of Christmas Carol when he sees himself in the future and how it could be. And he was a ringer for me, my old man. And I went to his funeral, and they thought I was a ghost. He'd never told anyone he had a son. And I was there in the fucking big kind of Crombie and all that, and like Michael Corleone, and they said, whoa. Like they thought, seriously thought, I was fucking, who's he? He looks a ringer for, you know, Nicky Connolly. So there was no amends to make there, you know what I mean? Sort of like, but I wanted to make amends to my mother. I'd love to have made amends to my mother. There was people I bullied in school who I kind of had a conversation with one guy one day, and he thought it was all a bit weird, but I said to him, I used to bully you because you had the life I wanted. You had the comfortable house, you had the food, kind of like big dinners. You was like the kind of families you get on commercials. Do you know what I mean? And that's what I wanted. And I used to think, I want you. I was in a lot of pain. I want you to hurt like I hurt. And I told him this, and the guy was looking at me going, that's cool. I said, I'm not embarrassing you, Mara. And he's really embarrassed. I said, I'm not embarrassing you. He says, no, cool. And he kind of went away and thought about it. And then he came through a friend. He says, I'm really glad John said that to me. And it kind of came back to me, crept back to me. And sort of like, I kind of believe, like, I was in a meeting one day and someone was sharing about step 9 and they were saying, like, I robbed loads of banks, not kind of with a shotgun, but there was a fraudster and stuff like that. And they said, I believe that where I took out the universe, I don't necessarily have to give back. Barclays ain't going to miss that money I robbed. But every month, I send some money to sort of like a charity, basically. You know what I mean? Sort of like, and I thought I liked that, you know what I mean? So I kind of do like kind of stand in order for saying 30 quid or something, just to come sort of like, because for years I was just like signing on fucking loads of places. I had a little round, you know what I mean? I'm like round to go and sign on and a round to go and get the gyros, you know what I mean? And when they said to me I was a criminal in treatment, I went fucking mad. I said, how dare you? It's so, you know, so entrenched in me, you know what I mean? And I thought, no, I'm Irish. It's a revolutionary, you know, I'm getting them back. All about imperialism. And I knew fuck all of that. Do you know what I mean? It's bollocks. I just really fuck them, you know what I mean? So, step 10, I love step 10. I really, really love step 10 because before I came into recovery, there's things sort of like kind of people, you know, like I'm in bars, you're hanging out or whatever, you know what I mean? It's sort of like, there's a dispute, and people say to you, well, you should have said something at the time, it's fucking gone now, forget about it, all right? And I kind of like this thing where we can kind of dip back in and kind of say, you know what, you know, like we had a bit of grief or we kind of had some kind of beef the other day, I want to talk to you about it. I don't always admit I'm wrong, because sort of like in my family, I was always taking blame for stuff that wasn't necessarily my fault. So I try not to do that today. But if I've got a bit of grief with someone, and all my good pals, right, at some point I've had beef with. Do you know what I mean? Paul, Brian, all they'll say, you know, at some point we've had to sit down and say, look, da-da-da-da, you know what I mean? On my part, because I always used to think I was either guilty or not guilty. It was black, it was white. He's horrible. I want all my mates to hate him like I hate him, you know what I mean? But this thing that kind of says, well, okay, you know, like, you can kind of just kind of sort, you can kind of just make amends. And if you're wrong, promptly admit it. Because I spend a lot of energy trying to make myself right when I know I'm wrong. And sometimes, you know, I don't always kind of go, well, I'm wrong. You know, I want to talk about this. I have a little spin on that, which, because I come from being bashed up as a kid and stuff like that, a lot of the time I'm looking for the exit wherever I'm sat. And I have a kind of, my step 10 is kind of sort of like, I continue to take personal inventory. When I'm safe, I promptly admit it. When I'm somewhere and I'm sitting there safe, whether it's sitting at home, sitting in a restaurant, sitting wherever, because I feel I'm under threat a lot of the time. So when I'm safe, I think, no, I can switch off now, I can relax. And I kind of like that. And my step 11 was about kind of, I feel I've got a place on this planet. You know what I mean? I feel kind of I belong here. As a human being, you know what I mean? I belong. I'm not the best, I'm not the worst. I kind of sometimes say to myself, you know what I mean? If everyone was like me, would this be a better place or a worse place? And I can't think it'd be a better place. That's my God's honest, you know, it's all like, because someone asked me this question a long time ago, right? And it's a very good question, very pertinent question. Would you like yourself as a friend? And when I think about that, right, you know what I mean? I kind of think, yeah, I would actually. You know what I mean? I would like myself as a friend. I think I've got qualities, you know what I mean? This is not, you know what I mean, not kind of going to turn into kind of sort of whatever, you know what I mean? But I do think I've got kind of qualities. I think I'm a nice guy. I've got a sponsor who lives in New York, right, and the kind of relationship's a little bit kind of broken down because of time differences and all the rest of it, right? But he used to have this bit of a mantra, and he used to say, I'm a decent husband, I'm a decent father, I'm a decent employer, I'm a decent neighbour. And I kind of like that. I like the idea of just being a decent kind of guy, you know what I mean? Because in my grandiosity years ago, I had to be kind of like, you know what I mean, the best or whatever, the best or the worst, strange, you know. And to kind of be just the kind of guy, just kind of like, oh, that, he's a cool geezer, that Mr. Conley, you know what I mean, lives at Dumbledore. You know what I mean, just to kind of sort of be there and kind of like, just get on with my life and kind of not create a mess. And if I create a mess, clear it up, you know what I mean, just kind of be that kind of guy. And my 12 is about doing a little bit of service, because this won't run itself. It just doesn't, you know, NA will not run itself. We've got to kind of put a bit in, you know what I mean? Even if it's tidying up or, you know, whatever, you know what I mean? And kind of like I sponsor people, I put time in, I try and talk to a kind of newcomer. But I try and take this, what I've learned in NA, to be a decent guy, out into the world. So if I'm stood at a kind of like trying to buy a ticket for an underground or something, and there's someone in front of me and they're obviously struggling, right? I'm going to say, well, you know, this is London or we're English, and we obviously don't talk to people we've not been formally introduced to, you know what I mean? It's, are you all right then, mate? Do you know what I mean? And some people, yeah, I'm all right, yeah, I'm all right, you know what I mean? It's like, where I used to live down in King's Cross, right, there used to be this kind of like this hostel, and you used to see these kind of Americans, and they'd have the map upside down and everything, and you go, and you say, you all right there? Obviously lost. You go and have kind of, I don't know, kind of like something to eat, and you come back, and they'll still be on the call now, and you're all right there? I'm all right. And I mean, so I try and help people. I'm not saying I kind of walk around like kind of like fucking John the Baptist or something. You know what I mean? I'm not mad. I'm not kind of hauling a cross around King's Cross around here. But I try and help people and I do my bit, you know what I mean, to make a slightly better world. And you know what I mean? It's like, it's not, you know what I mean? It's sort of like I was saying at the beginning here, you know what I mean? It's sort of like, if I can do this, I'm not saying anyone can do this, you know what I mean? But we have to kind of give together, we have to get over our reservations, we have to kind of sort of like realise there's a bit of work involved in it, you know what I mean? You have to drop a lot of stuff. And as much as I've learned stuff in NA about myself, I've had to unlearn a great deal about myself. A lot of fallacies that I picked up along the way about myself, before I could even fucking talk, that the world's a scary place, John, you better duck and cover. you better fucking just keep yourself a low, small target, you know what I mean? Fucking just disappear as much as possible. And if you can get out your nut at the end of every day, fucking great, you know what I mean? So I've had to kind of unlearn that stuff, you know what I mean? And like, my life is very good. I have problems, like, you know, like, I've got kind of problems which I can kind of like, I can always find problems. So you know, it's how I'm kind of wired up, you know what I mean? But kind of like, it's good. Where I come in and I sit in a meeting, you know what I mean? And I kind of like, I think, you know, I mean, you live a really good life. You know what I mean? You've sort of like, you know, you always like to think, I always like to think I could spot a bargain. And I think I get fucking bargain here, you know what I mean? It's sort of like, it's really kind of, this really suits me. The way the steps are laid out, the way it's kind of informal, you know what I mean? The way no one's taking a register. You can come into a meeting if you said, like, if you're in bits 1 week, right, or you're fucking full of it 1 week, yeah, recovery's great, and you're in bits the next week. No one's going to say, well, you're full of it last week, you know? You thought you cracked it, didn't you? It's kind of, you know what I mean, everyone kind of understands that, you know what I mean, sort of like, not so much through kind of design, but most of my close friends now are people who are in recovery, are kind of, not just kind of sort of like clean, because I know guys who are clean, they don't use, and when I hang out with them for any length of time, I come home and I want just to have a shower. I'm not saying they're kind of, you know what I mean, but they're kind of digging you out. It's like being 14 in the youth club. All over again, you know what I mean? It's like time, they're all trying to play mind games about who goes up and gets the fucking Pepsi Cola, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't want to be here. So people, you know what I mean, kind of like, you know, a lot of my friends, I've grown up with them. So, you know, guys like Paul Bryan, you know what I mean? We've kind of talked, I've seen them through struggles, and, you know, they've seen me through struggles and stuff like that, you know what I mean? It's like, 40 minutes has gone like that. And I'm one of them geezers, like, can't get me started, once you get me started, can't get me stopped, but I'm going to stop now. Thanks for listening. I hope anything I've said shared with you, you know, kind of helped, you know what I mean? It's sort of like, it's been kind of not such a daunting experience. And thanks for listening. Thanks so much.